CliffCentral.com.
All right, that is Mucha Buena and Song for Mucha. Love it. That's a happy thing for a Wednesday morning. We are joined by Damon Calvari this morning, Sia Sangweni, and Mbulelo Tinta, and also Mfundo Dladla, who's in the studio. So you want to talk to us? Get hold of us on 079-748-2090. And yes, Gord is sick, Damon, that's correct.
Gareth, I have some information here for the listener who wanted to know about last week's interview.
Yes.
It was Vusi Tembegwayo and Jen Su.
Okay, very good. That's from Friday.
Making a note of that.
Okay. Vusi Tembegwayo and Jen Su.
Tembegwayo.
Tembegwayo.
No.
There's no Q there either.
Tembegwayo.
Okay. I won't try that again.
It's all right.
Tembegwayo.
Okay, so we found out some horrific information just a moment ago, which has really just sent everyone into a spin. Damon drinks milk straight out of the milk bottle in the fridge and then puts it back in the fridge.
Well, I read a story that milk is healthier than water in terms of hydration and nutrients, etc. Yeah,
sure, because humans for centuries have just lain under cows that were not their mothers and suckled from their teats.
Exactly. That's how cows became domesticated.
Is that what happened?
If you go under a cow, does it kick you? No.
Is that what happened?
Because it's learnt.
I am so scared for Alexa and what she's learning as she's at home.
There, Alexa, look, there's a cow. Go and lie under it and suckle on its teeth. Are you sure, Dad? Yes, go do it. It's great.
They're domesticated. Don't worry.
Oh, they won't kick you.
Oh!
She scratched her ribs.
I'll give her a helmet just in case.
Where did you get this information from, Damon?
Yeah.
I just imagined it. You know, there's so much stuff on the internet, on social media, where people just imagine stuff and just suck it out their thumb and just think. And so why can't I as well?
Of course you
just
can.
Suck it out of your teeth.
If you can't beat them, join them.
You're allowed to.
Exactly. Somebody said the other day that TB, tuberculosis, is as infectious as COVID-19. People just make things up. Brilliant.
Now, this is a subject that came up earlier last week, and it was really intense. I remember having a very serious conversation with Leanne Moll, among others, about tea, and Mbulelo was on our side in terms of the way people drink tea. So here's an email that I got from tea lover Jean. Okay, she says, I was listening to a podcast of yours the other day, and I wanted to set you a challenge. I am an avid lover of tea, especially good quality black tea. I went to Kenya and Malawi for work a few months back. I've never tasted such beautiful tea in my life. I have no words to describe it. I'm talking about loose leaf black tea that you strain that resembles the consistency of Five Roses loose black tea, but the taste is heavenly. Why can we not find Kenyan and Malawian tea like this in South Africa? Tea shops such as Peacock, etc., may have what they call black Kenyan tea, but it is floral and it is not the real deal. With the economy the way it is, why can we never seem to get it right and support our own African continent, which has beautiful products to share, like this? I cannot even find this stuff online. If you know where to find this tea, I will be forever enamored of you. P.S. My credit card was stopped on the day I left Kenya duty-free, and I had no cash to buy any stash. Kind regards, tea lover Jean. She's very serious about this.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know my coffee thing. I only drink it from certain parts of the world.
Well, Mbulelo, I think that's quite sensible. I mean, we tease you about your coffee, but why should you spend your life, if you're going to drink, let's say, 1,000 cups of coffee in your life, or maybe in a year or two, right? I don't know how many you have a day. Why should you make one of them shit? Otherwise, just leave that experience out. Why have a tepid experience of something when you can have a good one every time?
That's an absolutely great way to look at it. I mean, if there's so few in life we can control, or few things, those which I can control, I want at the highest quality, the tiny things.
Yes.
Well, hello, how do you drink your coffee? Do you add sugar? Do you add milk?
Oh, my God.
Just explain.
This is a process. You're asking us to go down a rabbit hole here.
But oh, yeah, sorry.
Careful where we go here, Dan. Yeah, but sugar, no.
Do you have it plain black, eh?
Or if it's the better the coffee, the less I would want to have a cappuccino or a flat white.
Black, huh. White.
It's always black. You always want to go black when it's the good stuff.
Damon, flat white means black. You make normal coffee and you just add milk.
It's a flat white.
Yeah, as opposed to a bubbly white, which is a cappuccino.
Well, I'm bit of a bubbly white myself.
Yes, you are a bubbly white.
Yes, Leo. Certainly.
I'm going to guess here, and I know this sounds like I'm judging you guys before the fact, but I think you and Bernice probably put a lot of milk in your tea.
You're 100% right, but even more than you imagine. So what I do is I actually don't drink much tea myself. I generally make it for Bernice. So what we do is I add the sugar. Then I've done a new thing where I'm not boiling the kettle anymore. My theory is that the kettle uses up more electricity. And so I put cold water with the sugar, and I only add half a cup of water. Then I add the tea bag. Then I fill the rest of the cup with the milk. Then I put it in the microwave oven for 2 to 3 minutes, depending on the size of the mug. And I'm telling you, it comes out much better than if you use the kettle.
This is,
and I think you save electricity.
Disgusting.
I might be wrong.
It's heinous.
I'm just making this up.
You've discussed some pretty revolting things with us during the last 10 years I've worked with you, Damon. This is the most revolting discussion I think we've ever had. The way you describe pouring half a mug of milk in there, you drop the tea bag in with some cold water, you put the sugar in first. It's like this is like how primitive man would have made. Oh, you see, even your dog agrees.
Even your dog disagrees.
Which dog is that?
Shane, that's the blind one, Rufus.
Is he blind?
He got diabetes and we couldn't control it, so he went blind.
Like everyone else in the Calvary household.
Well, I haven't got blind.
Well, it's just a matter of time, isn't it?
Gareth, so you say that's the most revolting thing that I've ever discussed.
First of all, how much sugar? Because this is going to make it worse.
Oh, my God.
I would say the equivalent of – you see, it's a big spoon. It's not a teaspoon of sugar. It's one of those sugar spoons. So I would say it's probably half a tablespoon the equivalent of. Oh,
okay.
But the thing is, Bernice really loves it. And you said happy wife, happy life. Yeah, so she loves her tea.
You guys do your thing, but I don't ever offer me tea in your house. I'm not going to have it. Not if you make
or
it.
Or anything with milk at this point. Damon, let me set the scene like this. We had this discussion probably last week or the week before. And while I was at my parents' house, I had a favorite mug that I used to use, which was clear. You know, you could see. It was glass, so you could see the contents of the mug. Mm-hmm. And as much as the team said they weren't judging me for this, after our conversation, I thought, I'm not going to bring any more shame to how I prefer to make my tea or hot chocolate. So I've been covering up because I think they are secretly judging all of us.
Yes. I will.
You said it without missing a beat, Gary.
I will judge you 100% if you make milky, gross tea. I will not talk to you.
I don't want it to be a secret. Sorry, Sia. I'm not. With regards to tea or coffee, it's not a secret. I am judging you.
But the secret is, with my microwave method.
Your brew.
It intensifies the percolation of the tea bag.
So much more.
So yes, it is a very milky cup of tea.
You're basically electrocuting your tea bag. That's what you do.
I've got. You should see when I take that mug out of the microwave oven. You could see that tea bag is finished. It's lying on the top and it's all expanded, and you can see that there's nothing left in that tea bag.
It's been victimized.
It's finished. That tea bag is history.
All right. Well, you see what you've done, Jean. Now you've got us talking about this stuff again. So. I didn't want to go down this road, but here we are once more. All right, you remember Rob from Howick, who often would message us, and he still does from time to time. Well, I got an email from Rob, and Rob, I think he was being scammed because he sent me pictures of a girl who is his latest online romance.
Oh no!
Yeah, she's an Australian girl who's living in Kenya.
Catfish.
And then she's going to claim a large inheritance soon. Anyway, I've been emailing her a bit, and she sent me these pictures of her, but they are not even the same person. I'm not fussy, and I'd be happy with either of them. But starting our romance off on a falsehood is never a great start. I await the inevitable she needs an African account to transfer her millions to. As she trusts me and loves me, and she wants to use mine, I'm serious. If she sent me these two pictures, though, I thought there might be a difference. I might have to spank the racism out of her because she's also quite racist.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. No.
So he reckons, like, it sounds like Rob might even be considering this.
No, Rob is... Oi, no, Rob needs to get out of Howick. I mean, no, that doesn't sound good.
Oh, is that the first thing that needs to change in the scenario?
Well, it seems like he's been cooped up in the wilderness, or and he needs
in the middle of nothing.
No, but remember,
sounds
Rob.
Crazy.
Okay, so Rob, let me explain the story to those people who are new to the show. I mean, we've doubled our audience in the last 8 weeks, so there may be lots of new people. So Rob lives with his aged parents. Remember. And they still look after him. They still pay for everything. We've had Rob on the show as a caller many times before, and we have a lot of time for Rob. He's very entertaining to listen to, and he's got some interesting stories and some bizarre theories about things. But he lives with his parents, and he hasn't had sex for a long time. And when he does have sex, it's with people who are much older than him.
Well, that's because he lives in Howick.
Yes, and there are only old people in Howick. That's a good point.
Oh, guys, come on.
It's basically a retirement village.
Yes.
The whole of
dry. Am I the only one who's thinking dry vagina? Am I the only one who's thinking?
Oh. Like Joan Rivers. Yeah. Camels walking through the vaginas of people in Howick. Yeah.
Wow.
Two of my least favorite things.
So I'm not. So
what,
I'm
camels
not...
and vaginas. What, Sia? What are your two worst things?
Being dry and vaginas.
Sia still moisturizes every day, especially in winter, right?
He is a major moisturizer. I've never seen anybody moisturize as much as Sia.
I think at this point, we should call it embalming myself.
Yeah, it is. It's quite something, the way your process. Do you want to tell us about that? I mean, we're all sharing like our tea recipes this morning. We really are like, we're kind of like the old people of Howick. Talking about these things this morning, so I don't see why we shouldn't have a little moisturizing session with Sia Sangweni.
Now, with winter, and especially since I came up to Joburg yesterday, my whole procedure has changed. Mm. I now start moisturizing in the bathroom. So while I took a shower yesterday, and while the bathroom, you know, is all steamy, and there's tons of like that heavy, thick air in the room.
Uh-huh.
You then at least like start moisturizing in there, because as soon as you open up the door and the cold air rushes in from the rest of the house,
I swear
that does something horrible to your skin. So I don't take my chances. I'm telling you folks.
Do you moisturize your whole body?
Yeah, with different products. Just for moisturizing alone, and I'm not talking about like cleansing now or toning my face. For moisturizing, I kid you not, I have 1, 2.
Do you
three,
do your groin area as well?
Four. I have 4 different moisturizers. So it's the
feet. You have a moisturizer for your groin area as well, and your backside, and
it's the feet, the body, the hands, and the face. Look, if you told me there's some sort of like
So you moisturize everything?
Yes.
You moisturize.
Are you telling me you don't?
You can't moisturize the bottom of your feet, otherwise you'll start skating across your house.
You absolutely do.
Oh my golly. So you obviously, what kind of flooring do you have? Do you have a carpeted house, I hope?
No, look, you have to accept the fact that there'll be these oily footsteps for a while. But everything soaks up and dries up.
Has your flatmate accepted that you can expect to see oily patches in your apartment?
It's part and parcel.
Sia.
Was that in the rental agreement? There will be oily patches.
Sia, how do you deal with that period? The reason that I've never been a major moisturizer like you is because I find it annoying to have that sticky, clammy feeling in your skin after you've put on a moisturizer. Even if you use the non-oily stuff and you use the more water-based stuff, it still takes a while to dry, right?
So ordinarily what I love to do when it's warmer is to naked starfish on my bed because I have to just
lay
out.
Then you
get
the stuff on your bed.
No. You lay out tiles and then you lie on top of those tiles and you just sort of air dry. But now what I prefer to do, it also just doubles up warmth during the cold, is you put on socks and you put on a nice gown and it just soaks all of that moisture up.
Wow.
You also put stuff in your hair? Do you put like an oil in your hair?
No, I'm not that intense, no.
Don't.
I like how my tone changes as if, no, I'm not that crazy.
No, I'm not nuts.
This is the, I imagine Sia lying starfishing on his bed with this. Playing in the background.
I want a video of that.
No, I don't want to see that. Not in person.
Four different moisturizers.
I pictured Sia lying there and luxuriating. But now you see, you've got a problem in winter because you lie there naked starfishing on your tiles. It's cold.
See, winter you have to bundle up, yeah.
Sia said he only does it in summer, the starfishing.
Wow. We really
He's not completely crazy.
We're learning some incredible things this morning. I mean, this is just unbelievable.
It's a way of life.
Sure. All right. Well, good for you, Sia.
We all have our kinks and things we do.
Yes, clearly. Some of those things are... and then you used to also in summer, you would go out onto the balcony, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That's great air drying in my gown.
Has the body corporate complained about that?
The police have come to arrest him on several occasions for public indecency.
Is it really though?
No, you see, if you have a really, really good body, nobody will complain. That's the difference. People are hypocrites.
Let me just quickly mention that we had another episode of Blind History yesterday. We dealt with Emperor Charlemagne. Next week, I know a lot of people love the bad guys, right? People seem to love the worst people from history. And we have a real shithead next week, Stalin.
Ah, Stalin.
Stalin, what a nasty piece of work. You can find out all about Stalin, and there are some good qualities to the man. I mean, he did some amazing things. You know, there's a great biography of Stalin by Simon Montefiore, which is, he's grudgingly respectful, and especially of the young Stalin, he's quite he's admiring of Stalin when he was younger. And there's a lot about the character of this man. He must have been an impressive person to have got the whole of Russia to listen to him, you know.
Have you read Putin's
book? Hold on. Let Mbulelo talk, Damon. You know, really, he hasn't said anything this morning except about his coffee.
Sorry.
No, just on that Stalin. Sorry, not Putin's new one. The book, the previous one. I'll find who it's by.
Yeah.
Where they make the starting comparisons of Putin and Stalin. Very, very, very interesting stuff for those who care about that part of the world.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, there's similarities.
Yeah.
Many similarities. Mm.
But then there's a lot of things that Trump has said that draw similarities with Hitler.
No, I'm not saying I'm anti-Putin, by the way, Damon, if that's what you're hearing. I'm just telling you in the characters.
So you like Putin, eh?
Yes, this is great.
Here we go, Damon. Yeah, you're good. Great.
Yeah, sure.
You're great.
Now, what I was going to add when I rudely interrupted just now is that aren't most people when we're very young, we're all good, nice people when we're young, right? Or not?
No, not really. Emperor Nero was dropping animals off his roof at about the age of 9, says Seneca.
Come on, Damon. You knew some people at school who were already shits, like, at an early age.
Complete shitheads.
Yeah.
No, as I was saying it, I was realizing that I was wrong. As the words came out of my mouth, I looked back at all the horrible bullies that are... Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Like, I can tell... This sounds horrible as I'm processing it in my head. I think my niece is going to be a bit of a shithead.
Oh, no. Why do you say that?
She's just about to turn 2, but she already has these ingredients. Now, as I look back at her behavior, spending a couple of weeks with her.
We've
been teaching her about coughing and coughing into your arm, so she likes replicating that. But when she's being reprimanded, there are points where she'll just look at you and just let out a cough for no reason. She's not choked up. She's not ill, but she'll just cough out into the air. She recognizes. You cannot tell me that at that age, she doesn't know what right or wrong is when we've been, you know, trying to drum this message into her. She's going to be a shithead with a stripper name.
Quite passive aggressive of her.
they say by the time you're 5 or 6 years old, your personality has been formulated already.
Indeed.
Maybe you'd have to look it up.
And now that I think about it as well, oh, here's something else. So she likes to stand on the landing of our staircase with her toys. And yes, there's, you know, it's barricaded, so she can't do anything dangerous. But she'll just stand and throw things down the stairs.
Filled with hatred.
I think one day it will be one of us.
My toys. That's where it comes from.
Yeah, she's filled with hatred, Sia. You must watch her with a hawk eye because she's going to be a very dangerous adult.
So I believe it.
And you know,
shithead levels have no age.
Like you get some people who are raised very well. In fact, you sometimes even end up with brothers and sisters or twins, for that matter. And the one ends up being fantastic and the other one ends up being just awful.
Yeah, it happened in my family.
Who's the awful one in your family?
Me.
Yes.
Oh. And my sister's... No, I'm being dead serious.
And your sister's terrific.
Oh, yeah, no. She's been down the middle and, just exponential growth.
How are you awful?
Oh, well, Damon, you've only known me in this
dimension. Let me count the ways. He's incorrigible. Are you kidding? We have more listener feedback in the form of hate mail about Mbulelo than almost anyone else.
Yeah.
Sia, here are some questions for you quickly before we get to Mark and Bluli. First of all, Sia, how do you moisturize your back? Good question.
My neck.
My pussy and my crack. Yeah, that's right. How do you do that?
I can't cover the complete back, but I try to angle up and down as much as possible.
All right. So there may be a small area in the middle you don't get to.
Yeah.
Where it looks like a reptile skin. the non-moisturizable part.
No, that piece of skin looks 25 while the rest of me looks 12.
This is where we need to get you married off, Sia, so that reptile part of your back can also get some moisturizer because they can offer to do it for you. Okay, listen to this. Sia, this is interesting. Wow, you've started something here. Scott says, best skin moisturizer I ever had was a 10-day cross-country ski trip in North Quebec. The average temperature is minus 10 degrees Celsius with no shower. My skin was unbelievably smooth, but a bit smelly. No shower for 10 days, cross-country ski trip, so you're schwitzing like Chaza. And he says that was the best moisturizing his skin ever had. He said it was unbelievably smooth. No chemicals or products. Huh.
No, go and wash your body, you dirty pig.
Dirty pig. Damon, your milk addiction explains your IBS completely. There's some interesting feedback from Kala.
No, funnily enough, it's not actually me. It's the rest of the family.
No, but you just told us how much milk you put into everything and how much...
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing. That's where the mind of a... If you have an eating disorder, that's how the mind works. I never put two and two together. Like, so me drinking out of the bottle, I didn't consider that having too much milk. Sorry. Uh-huh. That's the way the mind works. Sorry.
So in other words, he's exactly right. Yeah.
Sorry. And then just before we get to Mark, from an anonymous person who works at the office, this is the message that just came in.
Uh-huh.
Mbulelo is an awful person. He drank Al Jane's Coke.
I wonder who's that. It could only be from Jane.
That's just a reminder.
Sure.
Once upon a time, there was a little bit of Coca-Cola left in a bottle in the fridge. And Mbulelo... What was that?
Sorry.
What was that?
I was looking at Twitter quickly and I played a video by mistake.
Are you bored with us?
No, I was looking at these other news stories to bring up later. Sorry.
Okay, well, let's get to Mark and Dluli because clearly Damon's bored.
Sorry.
How are some of our most loved performing artists currently surviving? You know, we've spoken to Luis Obala. We've spoken to Danny Kaye. We've spoken to Jay something. We've spoken to some really, really brilliant people, and now it's also time for us to speak to another brilliant person. His name is Mark Mdluli. He's obviously decided to change things up because the lockdown has ruined comedy. And we know he's part of the Cliff Central family, so we thought we'd get him on here to talk to us this morning. So he's been changing direction. He's been running various live comedy nights at some venues around Joburg just before lockdown, and he's now been making music to sell it online, and dun-da-da-da, it's actually working. Hey, Mark, that's nicely done, dude. Congratulations.
Hi, guys.
How are you,
Thank
bro?
Thank you. I'm well, thanks to yourself, brother.
Yeah, I can't complain. What? Tell me how this music business works online. First of all, congratulations. I didn't know that you were also a singer. I remember you used to rap on your shows sometimes.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do the music thing full time. And look at you, you're flying.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gareth. Well, to be honest, I just consider myself a performing artist. I've always had music in me since I was a kid, to be honest. I've been in choirs. I've been in bands. I actually studied music for a year as well at Rhodes University. So it's been a thing.
Yeah.
So I entered comedy almost luckily. I just entered a comedy competition, happened to be good. It was at Parker's Comedy Club. And then I started pursuing it because I guess music is a much harder industry to break into. So with the lockdown, I've obviously haven't been able to perform comedy because, the government's made a big out of me, which I really, really don't like. I actually prefer to make my own money. So I figured maybe it's time to bring the music out and, let people know this side of me. Yeah. So, I released it on Bandcamp. It's a place for young artists to go put their music out. And it's pretty cool for young artists because you don't have to actually pay for the service, but you can get paid on it by
Bandcamp. What is Bandcamp? Is it like an app?
Bandcamp. Yeah, it's similar to like your SoundClouds and your other streaming services, except you can get money from it as a young artist. So for instance, my song currently, Same Old Story, costs $1. But the cool thing about it is that if you really like the song, you can actually pay more than $1 for it. It's open. I'm actually the first sale I made on the song. I made $10 off one of the tracks, and the song only cost $1. So I was like, okay.
And let me tell you something. I mean, $10 that could power you through the rest of 2020.
I know, right? Considering that I don't have to go anywhere.
And considering the rand dollar exchange rate, you've found a new source of income. So you see, they say that necessity is the mother of invention. And because you were forced out of comedy, like all the comedians are,
for sure,
you now have the ability to do something that maybe is an even greater talent of yours. Congratulations. This is very good news.
Thank you. Thank you. So the cool thing about it is that I love art. I love performing in general. So when I perform comedy and I'm in front of people, I like to feel that energy from people, receive that and make people laugh, So now, with lockdown, not being able to be in front of people, like, you'll never catch me doing that comedy online shit like that.
Yeah.
To me, it's so cringe. Like, I think people are the reason why we do stand up. So without them, it's kind of pointless. Everybody thinks they're funny in their own head,
Yeah, and it's so hard. It's so hard to do comedy without a crowd because
you can't.
There's no sense of timing. You don't have the audience laughter. You don't feel like there's any feedback loop. It's bad, right?
Yeah, because all comedians do is figure out what does this audience like. That is what makes a good show, because you don't just say the same jokes at every show, because the same people in Maboneng won't laugh as the same jokes in Four Ways, you understand?
Oh, those people in Maboneng are the worst.
They can be, but they can also be awesome. It depends on the show. But what I'm saying is with music, the feeling that I get in doing comedy, I can do right here in my room. I wouldn't say I'm an instrumentalist, but I've got a guitar and I've started playing it and learning how to use it properly. Actually, I'm actually one of those lockdown douchebags. Oh, you're in lockdown, you should start a podcast or learn how to play an instrument, write a story or some shit like that. So,
everybody. You know how many people I've had mailing me saying, we want to start a podcast? And I'm like, you just because you're in lockdown now, you've got time. You think you're going to be a brilliant podcaster. Oh, I'm sure the audiences can't wait for you. They've been sitting there going, oh, I'm so excited about this idiot making his own podcast about his boring life.
Yeah, exactly. And all you're going to tell me is what you do during lockdown, bro. Like, we don't need another one of those. We've got the Gareth Cliff Show. It's chill.
Yeah, well, thank you. Now you know our secret is to just talk about what we do during lockdown.
Is that a backhanded compliment?
No, it was a very good one. It means you guys are the only podcast worth listening to.
It's a front-handed compliment, Sia. How dare you?
Yeah. So anyway, what I was saying is that when I'm in my room and I'm playing music, you know, I don't need the audience to feel good about it. It just feels good. Music is a different type of experience for me. It's almost spiritual, and I can do it by myself. So I still feel like I'm artistically fulfilled. And I just decided to start sharing this music because the song is actually quite old. It's from 2018. I've been recording music silently because while I've been quite busy with comedy, it's so funny. Before lockdown, my dream was to be able to live, pay rent, just based on performance.
Yeah.
And I actually just attained that goal this year. And then all of a sudden, you can't actually perform. So no performance at all means no money at all.
Damon, we should think about making your song Ice Cream and Beef and Bacon and Cheese, you know, the song that you do for Christmas every year. We should think about releasing that on Bandcamp. Maybe we can make some money.
Silly question, but can people do podcasts on Bandcamp?
I'm not sure, really. I know it as a music platform, but I'm sure you can. You can put podcasts literally anywhere these days. It's such a growing platform that everybody wants to do it. But I didn't use it for that purpose, so I didn't really.
I know that. No, I was just curious.
Oh, okay. No, not sure, Damon. Yeah. So I decided to put out the song because, it's something for me to do as an artist. We don't want people to think we're not around as the worst guys, as entertainers, because we grew a fandom, I'd say, or supporters from the live shows that we did in comedy around Joburg. Mm-hmm. And they've been wondering where we are. And just because we're not doing comedy in that way, we are still busy. So we're still making music. I released a song. I've got plenty of other music. I've been recording with Dory's husband, actually, Justin.
Oh, wow.
We call him Big Just. Yeah. Okay. So this isn't the only song I have. I have quite a few. He's actually a great producer. And I've been going to him on Fridays, sometimes staying over till 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's simple. Yeah, simply because I didn't have the time to focus on music that I wasn't doing it, but it's always been a part of me.
Okay, well, I'm thrilled that you found a way, because I think the most innovative people are going to find ways to make money and to make a different kind of living under lockdown. But also, it's a creative expression that now you have in full flight. It's terrific. Well done, dude.
100%. Thank you so much, Gareth. I appreciate that.
We'll check in with you soon, but go and check out Mark's Bandcamp page, which you can find on the internets. And you can listen to
all my websites. My website, markandvili.com.
There we go.
How do you get to Bandcamp?
Yeah. How do you get to Bandcamp?
You get on a bus and then they take you and the other kids from the band to the camp.
So you go to the app. You download it as an app.
And you also lose your virginity there. It's an amazing place.
There's pies.
No, I'm joking. It's literally you just type in, sign up on Bandcamp.
Yeah, Damon doesn't know why this is funny, Mark. He has no idea.
Okay.
You have a budding music career that we don't know about, Damon.
No, I'm just curious. So I'll have a look at it.
All right.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's honestly.
I'll look for your song.
Please do, and buy it if you have the money.
You have to pay. You have to pay.
And if you like it,
have to pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't watch it for free. Okay.
No, you can. You can. You can listen to it 3 times before you decide to buy it. So listen, literally, you get to decide whether you like this enough to pay for it.
Okay. I might be the option.
Thank you. Cool. All right. Very good. Thanks, Mark. Nice to talk to you, dude.
Same to you, guys. Right. Thank you very much.
Damon, some feedback from you, from people for you. You always like to hear what people think. Roger says, Damon, you are great on the show. I actually prefer you to Gord.
Okay. That's very well. You can't compare. Both very different.
Michelle says, Damon, you should be shot. Because what you drink is not tea, it's pee. Quite extreme. She wants you shot.
Very.
Sure.
I think it's moderate. She's being kind.
Yeah. All right. Microwave tea. I feel sick. No. I can't. I'm nauseous. It's too much. I'm gagging. You've made me upset. That's from Morgan.
So you don't want to hear about the thing on my back then? Okay.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. What have you got on your back?
Okay. So, but you know how a woman...
Oh, he wasn't joking.
So, very. So Bernice has been pushing and squeezing a thing on my back for years and years and years.
Oh. Wait, David. What
and I've been
thing?
And I've been trying to tell her, you know, it's in your imagination. There's nothing there. I went to a dermatologist a year ago. He said to me, "It's actually don't tell your wife, but it's actually a wart." Anyway, yesterday morning, it's by my shoulder blade on the right hand side. So yesterday morning, I wake up and I feel the slight pain on my back, but I just ignore it, right?
Oh God!
Towards the end of the day, at about 4 o'clock, I decide let me contortion myself and feel what's there. As I touch it, there's this big swollen bump, and it explodes in my hand.
No.
Hard white pus.
Okay, chest
dose.
Right, got
and I think to myself, okay, it's over. And I left it alone. I went and I washed my hands, and I left it alone. A couple of hours later, I examine it again, and it explodes again. There's more.
Shame on you, lie.
I then turn to Bernice, and I say, Bernice, I got something for you. And she, you would think she was so delighted. This is better than having a huge erection. She was so happy. She squeezed. It was so bad we had to go to the bathroom. The one squeeze, the stuff shot across the room onto the bathroom mirror, crying in the buckets. Anyway, upon squeezing and squeezing, there's something black inside.
Oh, for God's sake!
So there's obviously an ingrown hair of some kind.
Oh.
How about that, hey? Isn't that amazing?
That is revolting.
And then we're going to have a sequel today. So she put some drawing ointment with a plaster on it last night. So we're going to take the plaster off later on, and we'll see what happens. Oh. And I can tell you all about it.
Oh, my God.
Next time.
You know, there are people who watch these videos online.
Yeah, it's big. It's big.
It's a huge thing. And I find
Pimple Popper.
Yeah, Dr. Pimple Popper. I can't watch this stuff.
Bernice loves it.
It is just the most horrible, horrible stuff. I actually get more upset by that than I would by watching – those videos that some people send you on WhatsApp where, like, someone gets hit by a car or whatever. I hate those, but
one of the implements that the pimple poppers use, it actually inspired me. I went to go find one, and I bought one for Bernice as a gift.
What does it look like?
Okay, it's hard to explain. It's a metal rod, and at the end of the rod is a little metal loop, but it's a small loop.
Mm-hmm.
Like a circular thing that's connected to the stick,
like a hook.
It's like a hook,
mm-hmm.
and it hooks the pimple or whatever you're trying to dig up.
But Damon, are you not concerned, because as I understand it, a wart is quite a complicated thing. They have to burn them off with liquid nitrogen.
No, but I think my dermatologist made a mistake. I don't think it's a wart.
Are you not concerned about infection and this thing getting – because clearly, I mean, if it's doing the stuff that you disgustingly described just now, that there could be some kind of infection going on there. It doesn't sound very healthy.
No. There's definitely an infection going on there.
Oh, my God.
And I'm probably going to make an appointment. I'll go back to the dermatologist and see what he can do.
Yeah, please. I suppose for people who like that kind of thing, that's a very exciting story. But
Gareth, you don't realize.
I will not eat for the rest of this.
I'm not exaggerating.
You don't realize how common it is for partners, spouses, girlfriends to squeeze.
Yeah.
To squeeze their partners. It is very, very common.
Revolting. Thank you.
I feel so sick.
Very common.
All right, let's get into some news stories. There is actually real stuff going on.
Right, yeah, have some of
your,
those.
Your
yeah.
moisturizing oh. stories was also quite hectic. The
moisturizing
you know?
Story was great. Okay, let's move on, though. What have we got?
Yeah, this is quite sad to bring up this morning, but if you go into social media, you'll see it everywhere. But currently in the United States, and specifically in Minneapolis, there are some protests happening in the street between the residents there and the police. This is after the death of a man at the hands of police.
A black man.
So people are demonstrating and marching against that. If you haven't seen the video, you see a man who's been identified as George Floyd, who is apprehended by police. This took place on Monday. And a member of the police has him down under his knee, has his knee on the man's neck, and the man repeatedly yells out, "I can't breathe." George has since unfortunately died, and this is what now people are protesting. And I think we're going to get another sense of this toxic climate in the United States following as well an incident that took place over the weekend when a dog owner called 911 and claimed that
I'm actually going to play this clip. I know you guys can't hear it, but the audience can. So I'm going to play this because this is the kind of bullshit that drives everybody crazy. So this woman wants to call the police. She calls 911 because there's a black man in Central Park and she's feeling unsafe. I mean, first of all, it is deeply disturbing to me that there are people who think they can call 911 for no good reason. She's walking with her dog. And by the way, the dog is struggling to breathe because she's pulling on its collar and it can't breathe. She's throttling it because she's in a state over this black guy who's being polite as can be, who's doing nothing threatening to her. He's filming it. And you cannot believe what this woman's saying. I'm just going to play it for you because it made me so angry. All right, listen to this quickly.
Oh. We have four different kinds of chili.
Oh, for God's sake, there's an ad. Sorry, let me just get rid of the ad. Oh, how irritating. So here it is.
Why does YouTube advertise?
I don't know. I hate it. I hate it so much. All right.
Nobody watches their dog.
Here she is. She's with her dog.
Please stop. Sir, I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me. Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
Threatening my life. She says there's an African-American man threatening my life. Now, I do not understand this.
She's been fired, eh?
She's been fired. She's a Karen. Now, I don't believe that you should be fired for this stuff because that irritates me. But at the same time... my God. I don't understand this.
But what makes you angry about it? Sorry, I just want to understand.
What makes me angry is that this woman's overreacting to a guy who apparently he threatened her dog for or something like that. But even so, like, you can hear that this thing's just ratcheting up out of control because these two people, and mostly her, she's not capable of bringing it down and saying, listen, please, if you don't mind, I don't want to be filmed. Instead, she's like, straight after she said, please turn off your phone or stop filming me, she's like, I'm calling the police. Instead of like, dude, can we just talk about this? I'm having a walk with my dog in Central Park. Whatever the case may be. But she immediately jumps to, there's an African-American man threatening my life, which is not what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Obama. So this conversation.
Listen. She's not phoning the police. And her dog is like struggling to breathe because she's lifting the dog up by its throat. Which is just so bizarre.
I'm sorry, I'm in the Ramble.
I'm in the Bramble, which is in New York Central Park.
He's recording me and threatening me.
This guy's he's recording me and threatening me and my dog.
There is an African American man in Central Park.
It's just unbelievable.
But Garrett, you say you don't think she should have been fired. You see, businesses or companies, they don't want their brand being associated with the racist bigots.
Yeah, but Damon, at the same time, you'd have to research who she was. You'd have to find out where she worked. And all of that is doxing, which I have a problem with. Just because, there are a lot
of companies
that probably employ bigots. There are a lot of companies that employ communists. There are a lot of companies that employ people who believe that they should wash their asshole three times a day with their left hand. And that's none of my business. I don't care if I'm buying McDonald's burgers from you. I don't care whether you're a communist or not. It's got nothing to do with it.
They were trying to save themselves because Franklin Templeton, it's the investment firm which this lady works at, has now been doing interviews. And the company themselves issued an apology on the woman's behalf, and they released a statement saying, following our internal review of the incident in Central Park, we have made the decision to terminate the employee involved effective immediately. We do not tolerate the racism of any kind at Franklin Templeton.
So it wasn't documenting or whatever that fancy word you used.
Okay, well,
she appeared in public she had a prominent position.
Okay, then I want the Democratic Party in the U.S. to immediately fire her as well, because she's a donor to the Democrats.
Can you imagine what a nightmare?
They must immediately give back her money, and she's not allowed to vote for a Democrat ever again because they must distance themselves from her. She's a Democrat donor, so how do we like that?
Her real nightmare must have been Obama being president for 8 years because of man in Central Park.
No, she loved that.
Wasn't great.
She loved that. This is the irony of, like, you know, a lot of people in – they've got an attitude in their head, and then they've got an attitude in the real world.
Of course. This
woman thinks she's a perfectly sensible, open-minded, white liberal who just loved Barack Obama, right? She loved him. But then, so much so that she's donating money to the Democrats.
So there's a psychological term. The term is there is a real self and there is an ideal self.
Mm-hmm.
And the psychological theory is the pain, the human pain we feel, is the gap between your ideal self and your real self. That gap is the pain you feel in life, and like in your soul or whatever. That's psychological.
Oh, wow. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I think this whole thing is just horrible. Look, the fact is, this woman, she irritates me, as I explained to you earlier, because I think that she is a representative of a kind of cognitive dissonance that you find in society. And I agree with what you're saying, Bulelo, about that gap between the real self and the ideal self. But here's this guy, and apparently she had to have her dog on the leash, and that was part of the problem as well. Either way, can we not just ratchet it down instead of ratcheting it up? Like, there is a place that this discussion could have happened, where she doesn't get hysterical, where he puts down the phone and stops filming her, and they have a conversation like adult human beings. And she says to him, look, I don't want to be filmed. And yes, you're right that I should put my dog on a leash. And he says to her, look, I'm sorry if I made you feel unsafe, but let's just get along with each other and let's just leave each other alone at this point. You carry on walking your dog. I'll carry on walking in the direction I was walking in. And let's just forget about this. Instead, what's happened is it's turned into this big issue.
But also, Gareth,
every white person in America is taking on an attitude about her, and every black person in America is taking on an attitude about him, and suddenly we've got a big issue out of nothing.
Well,
essentially out of a person walking a dog. I mean, this is the kind of
thing that's why I was saying,
expect children.
I think we are going to see a change in the climate again. It reminds me a little too much of that 2017 era, you know, the Ferguson protests, and, you know, even just how chillingly similar the video of George Floyd is now, the man who was saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
It happened back in 2017 again with Eric Garner, who was in New York. Literally, a policeman had him underneath him and saying, you know what, and Eric Garner was saying again, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. So in the case of George Floyd right now, the Minneapolis police have, the four police officers who were involved in that have now been terminated. And the police officers have just said they are still investigating further points around this.
And listen,
human beings have forgotten how to just talk to each other like human beings.
Yeah. Look, the context is important this year as well. Minnesota, for those who haven't been there, does have a murky past with racist troubles. So
let's just be clear, it's a Democrat state, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay.
Very left wing, very pro Joe Biden at the moment. So don't mischaracterize the state of Minnesota.
The state of Minnesota now and the state of the history of Minnesota. So if you read Prince, Prince is from Minnesota and his struggles having been from there. But anyway, so the history of it within Minnesota, there are historical tensions of that because mostly the Scandinavians landed there and there's been a lot of tension in that region, having been there and spoken to some people there.
Are you saying, those people let's be clear. Bulelo, you're saying the people of Minnesota are racist?
No, well, I'm saying So like Alabama. So Alabama,
history in this country, the whole of South Africa is racist.
No. So,
we're going to carry that forever. So, they vote Democrat. So don't you love them now?
Okay, but hold on. Are you saying the racial matters in Alabama and LA are the same, even though they're part of the same historical United States? Of course it's not. So Minnesota's relationship with race relations will be very different to San Francisco. So all I'm saying is, just from what I've experienced and spoken to people there, and having read a little bit about Prince's experience and other black people in Minnesota, that Prince, there is a history.
Prince is, I'm blacker than Prince. First of all.
He looks like Kanye Silly and Bao. Man.
You know what, Mbulelo, I sort of hear what you're saying.
Prince, come on.
I sort of hear what you're saying, and yes, you can, in inverted commas, perhaps pass off what happened in New York and Central Park with this car and thing as just a, yeah, sure, there was something else loaded there. When police are now involved,
that's
happened under the hands of the police, but I don't think there's any
My point still stands. Like, when did we forget how to deal with each other like adults? When did we forget that we were able to have a conversation without involving the police? Like, how did we get to a point where we had to call the police on each other to settle what is essentially a miscommunication? What is that? What's that all about? How can we not just calm down and be rational and reasonable? Why must it always deteriorate to, I'm going to call the police on you, or this is racial, or this is about brutality, when it isn't? It's not. There was no brutality. That man did not touch that woman in Central Park. There was no need for her to overreact like that. Similarly, if he had just put down the phone and said, I'm so sorry, ma'am, and moved on, none of this would have been an issue. But it's also a way for people to create like a scene, to create some tension that doesn't actually exist necessarily.
That's what I wanted to say. This was a manufactured kind of scene in my mind.
Yeah.
Because if you look at that dog, it's not one of, it wasn't a pit bull or some Staffordshire Terrier that jumps up and down and harasses you.
It's like a standard poodle.
If you sit around, it looked like some kind of a small collie kind of dog. The thing is, that dog was probably not bothering anybody when it was off the leash. That's the thing. So why did he even, so that's where it all started. You see somebody walking their dog without a leash, but the dog's not bothering anybody. Just leave it alone. Come on. And that's where this whole thing started.
So dumb. It's just so dumb. Like, humans have lost the ability to do basic things because we watch the news and we are told that everybody else is thinking things that they're not. I mean, you don't know what's in someone else's head. You assume so many things, and a lot of those things are just plain wrong. Sometimes people just want to go about their business. They're going for a walk, or they're talking to their friend on the phone, or they're filming. Maybe they're filming a bird. They're not filming you, but it's all about you because you've been led to believe that everything in the world is about you. And that everyone else in the world is thinking about you constantly. Maybe they're not. How about that? There's that possibility, right?
Definitely.
Jesus. It's mad. It makes me crazy. And then when I see videos like that, I'm like, oh boy, I can see what's going to happen here. And truth, Bob, it happens. She ends up being fired from her job, which has nothing to do with her fear, her hysteria, her racism. I mean, this is the same kind of woman who's probably terrified of COVID. Terrified. She's probably going around and telling her friends and family how horrifying this disease is and how she's just seeing hearses go past the window every day. It's just terrible. Everything's a drama in her life. Unbelievable.
Well, now she's unemployed.
Now she's really got something to moan about. And,
exactly.
And you bet your bottom dollar she's going to start moaning harder than ever before. Anyway, I just think it's silly, and we've got to be able to separate that ideal self that Bulela was talking about from the real self. And you've got to work out that gap in between. Because if you don't bring the two together at some point, you're going to die a very unhappy person.
Whew. Yeah, it's heavy.
That was heavy.
Holy shit. We to think we started talking about milky tea.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to get to today. We've got some Living in Lockdown for you. We've got some other interesting content through the course of the day. And we're going to play for you a rebroadcast of our webinar from yesterday, which you can also go to cliffcentral.com to hear. There is a YouTube version of it, so you can see Reg Lascaris and Timothy Maurice and their excellent advice, their excellent points of view on what the world of marketing may look like, how human behavior has changed during the pandemic and during lockdown. And perhaps it will help you to reorientate your business in the right direction ahead of all these challenges that face us now in an uncertain future. And by the way, if you want to get a webinar like that together for yourself, or you want to deal with any of us as consultants, which we're happy to do, you can get Reg Lascaris or Timothy Maurice to give you some personal advice around your brand. And we can do this in the form of webinars, or we can do it in other ways too. You just go along to cliffcentral.com, and you can email me directly, frankly. Just send me an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Do it today. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Have a happy day, everybody. That is it from the live show for this morning. We will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6. Damon, nice to have you on. Always good to talk to you. Please, no more stories about gross things on your back.
Yeah, please.
Oh. Well, it's going to carry on today.
Oh.
Well, I think there'll probably be people who want an update, so maybe we'll have to check in with you.
Exactly.
Gross as it is. Okay, thank you very much. Cheers, everybody. CliffCentral.com.